There is a hadith narrated in Ibn Majah, and the meaning of that hadith is that once the noble companions were all present in the gathering of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then an Arabi came. Arabi is like a villager, a person from the countryside, a rural location, and the style of the villager, like the nomad, the person from the countryside, is that they didn't have much understanding or didn't have much knowledge and would come and give a direct sort of presentation of themselves. So he came straight and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we eat, but our stomach does not fill." What a beautiful question. And an ajeeb, you can say, a unique complaint, that we eat, but our stomach does not fill up. And it seems as if that this question has presented, you can say, the predicament felt by everyone in this generation, in this day and age, that everybody has the same issue, that we have everything in our houses, in our homes. We say, "Oh, we've got problems. My business is not flourishing. I invest, but nothing comes back. And our children, they don't listen to what I say. I've got a lot of money, a lot of wealth, a dastarkhwan, the food mat is full of everything. But I don't know what the situation is, that my house, my home, my family, I have a lot of problems." And 99.9% of people have this complaint at home. The businessman, he says, "I work hard, I run around, I bring the stock, but the business is not moving ahead properly. Somebody cast a magic spell on me, or is there something that somebody has done against me or said something against me?" For example, if we go home, every house, every family home, that it looks like everybody's fine, then while everyone's sitting down, they start arguing, the children start arguing. And the man comes home tired, and then sitting home with the wife, the family's together, suddenly an argument breaks out. The money, don't know where the money is disappearing to. Too many bills and debts are mounting up. I have a shop and a business and mal and stock. And we look at it, most people today, no satisfaction, doesn't matter how much money is being earned, whatever is being done. But this complaint is there, that my pocket is empty. And this same sort of question was put forward, that, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we eat, but our stomachs do not fill up." Look at this. What a great sort of statement and discussion with regards to how far, look how far the vision goes, the sight goes, and the question goes. And if we get the hal, the cure for this, then the whole ummah can be corrected and aligned today, that our desire for material things will end and we'll have peace and satisfaction, no arguments at home, no fighting, no saying that the business is not flourishing, there's no barakah, no blessings, this and that. Every time we have issues and we keep on mentioning them and problems, and there's no satisfaction. If we go and see on the dasturkhan, mashallah, there's a lot of food, there's palau rice and other rice and chicken and fruit, etc. What isn't there that we don't have? What isn't there on our food mats? Is there anyone in this country who doesn't get two or three times food a day, two, three times a day? Allah has given fruit and vegetables and other items of food. The children get food. Nobody stays hungry, but we still complain that I don't know what it is. What is the situation that we complain? And then and the shaitan takes us towards another angle. The go and go to an amil or some magician, ask somebody to dam and get some prescription from somebody, some magician. "Oh, you know, they've put a spell on me. There are problems in my home. Everything, our requirements are not being fulfilled. Our tasks are not being fulfilled. What if we do?" It goes in the opposite direction. So he replied in one statement, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we eat, but our stomachs are not filling up." And this is the root cause question that is similar to the issues that we are suffering today. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a short, concise answer. Listen carefully. I will listen. You listen. And this is the solution. Will we do this? Inshallah. Say loudly. Loudly. Inshallah. Because these are words for your benefit. That our lives will be made and improved. Not somebody else, will they? And our problems will be solved. Issues will be solved. There will be a cure. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that, okay, that's fine. You eat and your stomach does not fill. So, for example, the Prophet of Allah here, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the greatest hakim and doctor, physician. He didn't need to look at the pulse, he could just see the face. And the parents say, what's he speaking about? So Rasulullah said that, look, the reason that your stomach doesn't feel is this, that you eat, but you don't eat according to my sunnah. Subhanallah. Ha ha. That we have a lot of wealth in the shop. In the business, we run our businesses, we drive our taxi, we try our best to do something, we have the wakil and legal backup, etc. But our work is not being implemented. Why? Because we don't have the life in the form of the sunnah. And sunnah for us is nothing today. It's nothing. We look down at it. And this ummah has been deceived by shaitan to believe today, to feel today, to say today that we don't need this. And that we have no appreciation or value of sunnah in eyes. When somebody speaks about sunnah, nobody listens. What is the sunnah? Unnecessary, we say. Everything else is big. Everything else is necessary. And small deeds, they look to us to be so big and huge, and will praise these small deeds. But the verse of the Quran, we cannot see it. قَدْ جَاكُمْ Allah Ta'ala says, مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ Small verse. Look at this verse. Allah Ta'ala, what has Allah Ta'ala said? قَدْ جَاكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ That I have sent to you from my... I have sent to you, Allah Ta'ala says, a nur and a kitab. So why are you lost today, Allah Ta'ala says? Why are you lost? Why are you not succeeding? Why are you complaining? We, what are we? We just want to follow our mental beliefs and what our minds are saying, and we don't want to do amal in the way of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah SAW told us through one amal that the reason that your stomachs are not filling up, why are all of your tasks stopped with restrictions and obstacles? Wherever there'll be loss and calamity, wherever we've got problems and issues, wherever my tasks are stuck, they're not passing through smoothly, wherever I see lack of blessings, etc., then just understand, consider there's one reason. What is the reason here? That we are practicing our lives in opposition to the sunnah. That's it. And this is the one cure. Remember this today. We are drowned today in non-conformity of the sunnah. The whole ummah is drowned in this problem. We are destroyed, dispersed, and small pieces. That which country doesn't have oil? And which country doesn't have resources or money or wealth or land? Or if we go to one country, let's go to Pakistan. From north to south, we will see every type of climate, every type of atmosphere. If you want to stay in a hot climate, you'll see hot climate. If you want cold, you'll have cold climate. If you want extreme heat, you can go to extreme heat. Whatever fruit you want to eat, you will get that fruit. You get the seas and the oceans and the rivers and wind and beautiful fragrance in the atmosphere. But what do we want? We run around like headless chickens, because we have nothing. We are sat at this moment, we're like beggars. If we analyze today in the whole world, the Muslims, we have mounds and mounds of wealth, don't we, my friends? We are so wealthy, but we are like a twig, like a branch. Because Rasulullah said, my ummah will become like a twig, like a small branch, and they'll have so much materially, but nothing in essence. We'll have masjids and Quran and Khatam of Bukhari, alims graduating, alimas graduating, everything. But one thing we won't have, due to which we'll be destroyed, that we'll have the nur, we'll have the kitab, we'll have the kitab, we'll have Bukhari, we'll have Ibn Majah, we'll have all the other collections of kitabs, we'll have everything written, texts, masjids, big masajids. But what will we be lacking? There will be no nur. And what is that nur? Sunnati Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's pay attention to this verse. What is Allah Ta'ala saying? قَدْ جَاكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ كِتَابٌ وَنُورٌ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ So what is kitab here? The Mufassirin, the commentators have said that the Qur'an, my brothers, that if we summarize the message of the Qur'an is given us ahkams, orders, commandments from Allah. This is halal, this is haram. This is right, this is fine, you should do this, don't do this. Ahkamat, laws, orders, Allah's instructions, commandments, the book that has been revealed. The rest of it are examples that whoever doesn't follow my order, what will happen to him if he doesn't do this, what will happen to him, what happened to the previous nations, this Nabi came, what happened to the previous ummah, if you break the sunnah, what will happen. So all examples that Allah Ta'ala has given, all examples of the Anbiya, of the Prophets, Allah gave examples and stories of the previous nations. And why? Because Allah Ta'ala says that I want you to do amal on my laws, on my orders, on my ahkams. This is the Quran. This is the function of the Quran. Now, if we take the commandments of Allah and we start practicing all of the orders, salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, What will the position of that person be then? That if we just do this, then they will have no nur. For example, you've prayed salah, no nur. You've done hajj, no nur. Zakat, no nur. Sadqat, no nur. You've attained knowledge, no nur. Hifz of Quran, no nur. Where will the nur come from? The light. When in that deed, the sunnah Rasulullah is included, then that amal will become full of nur and light. And this is the issue. This is the point. Because Allah Ta'ala says, Nurun kitabum. Allah says, I've given the kitab with the nur, with the light. So if we practice the ahkams of the Quran without the nur, without the sunnah, no success. If we want the nur, the light to be in our deeds, then we'll have to follow the hidayah. Ittaba Rasulullah Sallam, imitation of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And without this, if we pray salah, you've prayed salah. It's a sketch. The frame is there, but no nur inside. Remember this. And the more a person implements a deed with the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, then moreover that deed will have nur inherent within it. And this is the example that Rasulullah ﷺ gave to the answer to the sahabi, you eat, you have rizq, you have wealth, you have the food, it's going into your stomach, but there's no nur in that. There's no light in that practice. Why? Because you're not doing that action in accordance to the sunnah. You're not eating according to the sunnah tariqah method. Then Rasulullah ﷺ said that if you recite Bismillah before you eat. Now here's the tariqah of the sunnah. Rasulullah is telling him now that recite Bismillah before you eat in the beginning and eat together. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. That for example, somebody's at 9 o'clock, somebody's eats at 7 o'clock, somebody's in here, the child is made tea, wife's eating here, drinking there. This is very common today. We don't have a fixed time for eating. One time we don't have, where we sit down, the whole family sits, the dasturkhan is laid out. Alhamdulillah, according to the sunnah, we should all sit. And what is the reason for this? Because everyone is separate. Everyone's eating separately. And eating, how important it is for our life, my friends. How important is food time? This is our center point, our focal point, our fulcrum, pivot, the hinge. This is the biggest ibadah. That how does a human being eat the rizq Allah Ta'ala has given to him? My friends, that's such a great act of worship, such a reward from Allah. That for example, if you don't get food for 2 days, bread for 2 days, what will happen to you? If you don't get chapati for 2 days, there will be strikes. If an announcement is made that the shops are on strike, no milk, no food, no bread, and further you won't get meat, you won't get vegetables, fruits, and until the evening, if the announcement is made, the shops open till the evening, whatever you want to buy, take, what will happen? I'll be in the line, you'll be in the line, there'll be children in the line, everybody will be in the line from the family. That however much we can buy, let's buy apples, we don't know how many days there will be a strike. So at that time, you will value that how Allah Ta'ala has given us a massive ni'mah. When we're feeling hungry, and for example, you have nothing to eat at home, you have nothing to eat at home, and nothing to drink, water, no water, then a person remembers Allah, that Allah, what ni'mahs I had before, what a great name and reward and blessings that, and how I've wasted this. But these are the tests of Allah, the trials Allah Ta'ala gives. That let's not close eyes and say, oh, today I've got something to eat, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It doesn't take a 1 second. Allah Ta'ala says 1 second, we're sat down now, we hear the noise, that's it. And the electricity, for example, if the earth will go upside down and the earth will split in the morning, everything's shut, the shops are shut, and the earth is cracked, happening day and night. It happens. We read news, we see things around the world. So the dunya is carrying to revolve and houses are erected and constructed and food, people are eating. Within a second, the whole earth, it splits and cracks and the earth becomes like a crater, as a ditch. Everything, don't have no idea. The electrical cables, they're dangling down. Because Allah is Qadir Mutlik. He makes the decisions of what will happen. So where will we go? But we never think of these things. That today we are getting these things. Will I get food tomorrow? Have I ever thought that today I'm sat down here and eating, will I attain something tomorrow? How am I eating this ni'mah? How am I consuming this blessing of Allah? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That for example, I'm eating and I'm speaking to others and I've got this box in my hand next to my ears, the phone, and I'm eating and I'm speaking. The children, they don't know. That for example, they think that we've come here to make money and we're working in factories, we've become old, and then our children are grown up, we haven't done tarbiyah for them. They're like junglies, like animals. It's the shukr of Allah that we have ta'aleem and tabliq silsila is happening in this country. We are a bit saved due to the ta'aleem of the deen. The people are making effort and a bit of akal comes about. Otherwise, we had nothing to explain to the children. We don't have no mahol and environment. From the morning, we go out to work. The children leave home. Mother goes to work. Father goes to work. Children go to their studies or work. And we don't know what's happening, what's not happening at home. Nobody knows anything and how we should eat and dress and drink, etc. This is our ummah. If we take the lesson from this hadith, my friends, for the sake of Allah, For the sake of Allah, our graves are close. And the first question we'll ask in the grave, I gave to you food and sustenance and provisions. How did you eat? Allah will ask. And we think we won't have an answer. There's such a very big accounting will happen of the food that we eat and the earnings. Ask the Sahaba Ikram, ask Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, ask Umar radiallahu anhu. And once, one day, good food came, nice food came, and the Sahaba started to cry. And Hazrat Abu Bakr was asked, radiallahu anhu, why are you crying? And he said, this food I'm looking at, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is it such that azab has come to us now? Because when we were living at that time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we didn't even know about these delicacies and this nice food, and food is like this. We used to eat with difficulty dates and drink some water, and we used to be grateful for that. And after that, for days the stove would not be lit in our homes. For days, once it occurred that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, that he was told that, you know, this food you've eaten, that you'll have to pay an account for this food. And he stopped eating. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu started to shriek and cry and scream, How will I pay back the rights for this food that Allah has given to me? So we're getting all of these things, then they're going to our stomach, that is coming out of the tandoor and going to the tandoor of the stomach. It's a waste. Allah will ask that I gave you money and food and you ate. How did you fulfill the rights? So when we see that a child is eating, takes 2-3 meals, says, oh, I don't like the food, truck. And in the morning, there's so much food that goes into our bins that we throw away in the morning. This is a test, a challenge, my brothers, that don't think everything is green and there's green gardens outside that we are seeing. Remember what I'm saying? I'm not making you scared. I'm with you. We're together. Let's wake up, wake up, wake up. Let's be conscious. This life is not permanent, that we will just stay here and we'll get more progression tomorrow. We'll get more sacks of food and grains. Fear Allah, ittaqullah. Allah says, my adab is very severe. Very severe is my adab. That's such a big action of ungratefulness that you are doing, that you're ungrateful for the food I give to you and the money, and you eat like animals, and I give to you. Allah says, I'm your Rabb, I give to you, and you have no manners how to eat, stand, how to drink, how to eat, the morsels, no tarbiyah, no training, education, no dua, no sitting down, no how to eat, etc. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahabi, to his companion, they recite Bismillah and eat together. And then a point that came, all of the issues were solved, subhanAllah. That when you eat this food according to my sunnah, dried piece of bread, and with the onion, if you eat this, then what will happen? Then you will eat in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's barakah will start to descend into your life. SubhanAllah. Even if it's dry bread with the onions, and there's no greater wealth in the world than the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no greater wealth than what? Barakah. There's no greater wealth. Take all of the wealth of the world and put it to one side, and Allah Ta'ala's little bit of barakah to the other side, the wealth will not even compete for a second. Forget about it. If you have nothing and you have a dharra, a small particle, and Allah's barakah is in that particle, then nothing can compete with that particle. And what is the tariqah to attain barakah blessings? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that barakah blessings will only come through what? Nur will only come through what? Sunnat Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ Allah Ta'ala says, sent Noor. The kitab came, but after the mention of Noor. SubhanAllah. That we have to value. We can only value the Qur'an. We can only appreciate the Qur'an. We can only understand the orders of the Qur'an. There will only be value of the Qur'an at what time? When we look towards the Noor, the light, the guidance. Otherwise, everything in the Qur'an, which we say we want to practice, there will be no Noor. It will be a body empty with voids. There will be a body that will not be able to see. The eyes will not be able to see the reality of life. Now tell me, let's analyze. Let's look at the whole ummah. We, all of us, me, you. How much life has passed? How much life is left? And that's it. We're just worried about eating. And we don't eat properly. Such a big ibadah that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prescribed to us. That we are eating. It's our food mat. The food's going into my stomach. I am enjoying. I am getting the satisfaction. I'm eating green chilies or red chilies or chutney or sauce or meat that I've cooked. And I'm enjoying. You're enjoying. We're all enjoying. And then if we eat according to the tariqah of Rasulullah, then every second of our eating becomes a reward, becomes ibadah. And it will be weighed in the hereafter. Weighed. And thereafter, it will be weighed. We'll get rewards, and the person will exceed the level so much. Imagine that Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas are so much, but it will become ni'mah at that time when it is implemented in parallel with the nur of the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with his sunnah. Allah Ta'ala said, I sent him for this reason to you. Otherwise you are animals. You were animals, and you are animals today. Just like we have become animals today. That is this a method? A person stands and eats, stands and urinates, stands and drinks water. Allahu Akbar. After this, then experience, after you go home, you open the fridge, he's eating, standing, drinking milk, and we keep fasts like this. It's never happened that we sit, we put the open the safan, we wash our hands, we sit down, do the dua for starting to eat, and then we eat properly, and then we keep the fast. No. Rush. I have to go Tarawih, he said, I have to go to this other masjid. We have no system. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, eat together. This is a hukum. Instruction, if you want barakah from the food, you want to make your eating ibadah, worship, then make an asool principle. Doesn't matter if there are three of you or two children or one of you, eat together on the dasturkhan at a fixed time. Put everything in advance, then sit down and start eating and see how the barakah descends and how the problems will disappear. And what is the effect of this practice? What is the effect? The effect of this practice, hadith, I think it's in Sahih Muslim, this hadith, that shaitan, you go home, and you go to home in the evening, and shaitan comes in. And then you see the game that's played. A person eats, and whatever comes in his hand, he starts to eat. And at that time, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is explaining, describing the scene that occurs at that time. So that we get yaqeen from these blessed words. That when a man goes home and he starts to eat, and if he's not doing this properly, and in his mind is shops and businesses and transactions, he doesn't like looking at his wife, his children, and the stomach. I just want to quickly fill my stomach so I'm free. End of story. Because though taste, and the taste diminishes. And there are many other things Allah has given a big ibadah, that your stomach is being filled up. So, no bismillah. No proper methodology of the sunnah. Just fill up the stomach. And then suddenly Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that, you know what scene takes place? That then shaitan announces, Iblis, come my brothers, my friends, I've opened the doors. All the doors are opened into the house then at that time. And everything is affected. Doesn't matter how much ayat al-kursi you can hang up, everything fails because there's no sunnah. So everything we've got, we've written scriptures, I've read the ayah. Yes, and all of this, it is there, and it has an effect, it has the power. But when will it take effect? Doesn't matter how big an alim you are, you have Sahih Bukhari Sharif, etc. in your minds. But the kala will come when the vision will come. The Allah Ta'ala says, Nurun wa kitabun mubin. That if there's no sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the deeds, then there will be no nur in our practice. We say we believe in the Quran, but why don't we implement it? Doesn't matter how much you force or explain or drive it. But this hal, this is our children, they become alims, hafidhas and alimas, and then they do wrong actions, they sin, because they don't have sunnah in their lives. They don't have amal on the sunnah. Amal on the sunnah. And we're just happy, my son's graduated, my daughter's graduated. Doesn't matter how many Qurans you hang around your neck, that even a person who doesn't believe, you put the Quran around his neck, will have any effect. Allah Ta'ala says the person has no nur. Put nur into your lives. And still the nur into your lives, Allah Ta'ala says. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, I sent the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to teach hidayah and nur. And everything he will make full of nur. The whole Quran and his message is nur. So when a person, according to the sunnah, picks up the Quran and reads it, then you will see the hikmahs that emanate from the Quran when you recite it. What beautiful subjects are presented by the verses. And a person's life is improved and shifts towards positive. So shaitan says, come, open door. Doesn't matter how many ta'weez you've got written out in the corners of the rooms, on the ceilings. He says, come, my friends. Oh, day of enjoyment. Today we've got a feast, an invitation, and maybe we'll stay here for the night as well. In other words, we've got food and possibly a shelter, a roof on our heads for tonight. That said, the dirty, impure, bad-looking shaitan, jinnat, they surround the house. And who's telling us this? That whether we accept or not, believe or not, but whoever believes in the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will have to believe in this hadith. Whoever said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, he will have to accept these words, these facts, from the truthful master, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And how did he explain this? I'll tell you this hadith. That how much importance is placed on this hadith, the way that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this hadith. Another hadith I will explain to you. So that's it. Shaitan comes, and our whole night that we've got, isn't it? We have our children with us at home, we have our wife. And what will happen then? Shaitan says that we are with these people for the night. Then every place he will be with you. Between you are lying down with your wife, and you are there together as the husband and wife. He is sharing that enjoyment with you. He's eating with you. He is there in the room. And then the children, the offspring that are born, will see what children are born. Many children, they are born as a result of this. We say, what's happened to our children? Why are they not good? Why are they rude and there are problems? All of children are against the sunnah. Whoever eats like this against the sunnah, then when his child is born, if he then meets his wife and sleeps in the night, obviously these actions occur, then shayateen will be there in that action joining in. So what can you imagine the ill effect of this action? This is hadith. Hadith who? We are doing dhulm on ourselves. We are oppressing ourselves. Is anybody coming from outside and doing dhulm on us? Is another country come and given us oppression? No. Who is doing this? Today our situation, our problems, look in our families, fighting, quarreling, disputes, disobedient children, everything. Why? Because we have entered into the production system in the wrong way. We have shared with shaitan our enjoyment. So what can we do now? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us what will happen. You may not like what you've heard, but the Quran tells us the truth. It says the right thing, and it makes like the difference between the wrong and the right. Now if you go home, now there's the second scene that the Prophet ﷺ is showing. You go home, and according to the way of the sunnah, you eat the food, and you gave emphasis that this is a great name of Allah, rizq, wealth, great ibadah, with manners, you've done wudu. If you can do wudu, then you did miswak, you washed your hands, and then you put out the dasturkhan, you recited dua with manners, and everybody comes joint together, assembled, and then the dua occurs, and then shaitan says, oh, go from here. You won't get no food here, and you won't be able to stay here in the night. There's noor upon noor here, let's leave this abode. SubhanAllah, is this not what we want? So from far you cannot see, the children go to sleep peacefully, wife sleeps, husband sleeps, and when he then is doing that action of intercourse with his wife, then who is born as a result? The walis of Allah. The alim with amal, the hafiz with amal is born. So there, the first example the hafiz was born, and in the second example the hafiz was born. What's the difference? That from nowhere else will these things come. Allah Ta'ala has given us a methodology. If today we want that our children are born with amal, they grow up, then do amal on the sunnah. Practice the sunnah. Then we don't need to run left and right and worry. Straightforward. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the sahaba was sitting and food came and was presented. When the food came, then Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to start, then a girl came running. And she came and she tried to pick up a morsel of food. A piece of food. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed her hand and said, what? What did he do? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He grabbed her hand. Then at the same time, another Arabi, a villager, came running. Because that's the common practice, that the dasturkhan is laid out. Doesn't matter what the climate is, and it's not like that. Whatever, whoever comes, they will sit there and eat. And as you got iman or not, good or not, you'll see when you go to Saudi that even till today that trend, that culture continues. Go to Muzdalifah, you will see a common scene in the time of the night while a person stays in the open air of Muzdalifah, and they bring a big tray. Inside the tray is rice and meat and whatever is coming. And everyone says, tafaddul, come, let's share and eat. Nobody knows, is the king or minister. Nobody will speak to anyone about their class and status. You'll eat with ease, and no one is big or small, that oh, this is this sahab, his sahab, and he has to eat here, the minister is eating in here. So no, everybody's eating in that way of the sunnah. The way of the sunnah. So the Arabi, he came, and he also put his hand out, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his hand. So both hands were taken by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you have this food that is here, and you put your hands out to eat the food, the Arabi and this girl, that you didn't recite Bismillah. You didn't recite Bismillah. What happens then is that this food, shaitan, they will join in the eating of this food. And how that all, as long as I've got your hands in my hands, the Prophet of Allah, that these hands of yours I'm holding, I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life, my hands. Very few times did Rasulullah swear to anyone by Allah and then swear by Allah again after that. So imagine how important is this hadith with regards to eating. Because until the Qiyamah, the Ummah should understand that this is not an insignificant action. That there's nothing more basic than this that will spoil the consequence of our life in this world. So, SubhanAllah, that he said that what I have taken your hand, O girl and O man, that shaitan, I'm holding on to the shayateen, their hands as well at this moment in time, all of them. I'm holding them, but you cannot see that. We don't have the vision. Because Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sism taught us that we can get yaqeen, that when a person starts to eat in this way, a person who doesn't recite Bismillah, doesn't make preparations according to the sunnah to eat, then shayateen, evil forces, join in to eat with him at that time. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that start with Bismillah when you eat, and eat with the right hand. And eat what's in front of you first. Three things, remember these principles. How should we eat? Start with Bismillah, and then eat with the right hand. And third, whatever food is closest to you, eat from that first, and then what's furthest away from you. That's the best tariqah for eating. Today we see in Dawat, in feasts, that everyone's running around and running after the food. The system's changed. That very few invitations and feasts will you see that people sit down on the floor and eat. They'll say, oh, what sort of backward action is this? My clothes will be spoiled and become dirty. I can't sit down. Thousands of excuses. And sometimes people say, oh, how are you going to serve the food? Sorry, I'm not going to be able to come to eat the food. No, I can't come if it's not on the floor. I can't. So it's their choice. If they prepare, then I'll go. There's a buffet system. We say, oh, you're going to sit on the floor. No, 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 I'm not going to come on the floor. I need buffet system, trays and spoons there to... Fine, there's a method there, but may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we follow the right way. If we continue to do dhulam, then think that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this is ibadah, great ibadah. And how big is the loss if you don't follow the sunnah? The loss will go with you to the hereafter, and you will be told to account for your deeds and your wealth. So what we realize, my friends, is that life, nothing in life is guaranteed. And our aspects of life, different aspects of life, ibadah, our worship, whatever we do, if the sunnah is not included in this, that this is without light, without nur, and nor will it give us benefit in this world or the hereafter. All the hereafter. It's totally a waste, therefore. So from today, let's make a firm intention that whenever we see a child in our homes or from family members, and first and foremost, what should we do ourselves is fix a time. We need to try that this time is fixed. We will all sit down and eat at this time together. SubhanAllah. This is a special prescription and advice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Eat all together at the same time and recite Bismillah, and the barakah will come down from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And in that home where there's barakah, then what is lacking in that family? Tell me, what is lacking? What is there of our actions that will be frozen or obstacles will come? What tasks of ours will be restricted? Allah Ta'ala's barakah is coming to the house. So don't consider this a small thing. Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his sunnati azim, his great sunnah practices, this is for our lives a very, very, very illuminated thing, shining thing. Without this, remember this point, our life is not, we're not lost, rather there is no life for the mu'min if he doesn't have this in his life. So totally the sketch of the life, wherever we are today, in the shop, we go to work, for example, or no, don't go to the shop, he's running it against the sunnah. His business, don't enter into a partnership anymore. Oh, for example, he's practicing against the sunnah, he's practiced at home, there's arguments, quarrels, then understand that this is due to something leaving out of the sunnah. There's no money in the pocket, all due to sunnah. Children are disobedient, then consider it's due to the not practicing the sunnah. We're trying hard, he's not doing hifz, he's not becoming an alim, he's not going inside his head. Then consider and understand that we're doing something against the sunnah in our homes, and there's no barakah as a result of this. And if we don't have yaqeen for this, then we won't have iman, we won't have belief. The person who doesn't have yaqeen in this, then his iman is incomplete, or he doesn't have iman. And the person who has yaqeen, alhamdulillah, then amantu, he has to practice on this. If you have yaqeen that is raining outside, then you will go out with the umbrella, won't you? Will you go without the umbrella? Nobody. You know that it's raining heavily, you will go with the umbrella, or you will wait that the rain it reduces, otherwise you won't go. If you have yaqeen that definitely this is the case, that the Prophet of Allah ﷺ said that sunnah is very important for us, that every action, if it's not done in accordance to the sunnah, we've wasted that time. So most definitely, inshallah, we will practice on this. So what we realize is that our yaqeen has reduced and is withering away. May Allah Ta'ala give us total yaqeen and give us understanding of today's lesson. And always remember that whatever is happening, then accept your mistake. I should accept my mistake that I am not doing amal on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And I've showed you the consequences, and the rest also is related to this. The rest is also related to this. Allah Ta'ala said that this Quran is kitab, and it will glow and sparkle amongst the noor of the sunnah. The Quran on its own cannot do anything, cannot have impact in any way. You can read the tafsir, etc., whatever you want to read with this kitab. But if the sunnah is not included in the actions, and we don't take the effect of the sunnah, then we will not be able to see with these eyes. This is a treasure. To remove the treasure, we need the light to guide us. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. So I'm hopeful that, my brothers, you will understand what I'm saying, and that we'll do amal on this, and we should bring this into our homes, and we should be afraid of Allah Ta'ala's azab, Allah's punishment and wrath, that whatever ni'mas we have today, they are not forever. Let me tell you, they are not forever. They are not in our hands. Nothing's only in our hands. Allah Ta'ala can take within a second from us. Then never waste your rizq, your wealth. Give it proper tariqah, make it in such a way that you don't have to throw it away, and eat in a nice way the food, that you don't disrespect the food. And we need to have adab, total and extreme adab, manners and caution when we're eating. If we're giving food to somebody, we're presenting food, giving invitation, we should try our best that we feed with halal rizq, with tayyib rizq. If you're making food for a wali of Allah, then make food with adab and manners, with dhikr of Allah. Make the food. Do you know that what a great action this is, that when you are cooking and presenting food to somebody, what dua that person will do for you? That Allah, the person has given me food, first Allah forgive this person, and in his food, but that many awliya Allah, let them eat from his food, and let pious people eat from his food, and may his langar, his regular food invitation, continue in the world. This is a dua. This is a prayer. that how great a reward is food. Tell me that eating food is such a big ibadah. You can invite people, feed them, eat yourself, give sadaqah and distribute the funds and run the langar operation, which is the way to give food to people regularly. It's a very big ibadah, worship action for us. Don't consider it small. We have functions in the masjid, then we make food. And look at the hal that is occurring at that time. People are eating. That is like a storm has been released. Nobody recites Bismillah, wash the hands first and afterwards. This can come only this and that food and this dish. And despite the langar, the food that is served in the majlis in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a lot of blessings, but we don't see adab. Umanis. May Allah ta'ala give to this ummah understanding, and that Allah's Nabi says, his sunnah we've left and we've displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from top to toe. Our lives are away from this. That's why if we've not understood one thing in our lives should not be practiced away from the sunnah of Rasulullah, there's not a second of our life for which there is no guidance from Rasulullah. He's told us everything. And you will not get this from any other part of the world, even to the extent that when we urinate, we've been trained and taught how to urinate. Can we get any greater guidance than this? And even that is ibad. How to go to the toilet. And even that will be weighed on the scale of justice of every mu'min, every believer. Tell me, how much we are wasting our lives if we are living our lives in opposition to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our face, our appears, libas, when we come to pray salah, Ramadan's coming near. Promise to yourself, the whole Ramadan, I will implement the sunnah. And I will have the highest form of libas. What was the greatest libas that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wear? What did he like to wear on his head? What did he used to wear on his body? What color did he like? And mashallah, how he used to prepare for salah with a miswak and use surma, and used to apply fragrance and imama and white clothes Rasulullah used to wear, and dhoti sharif he used to prefer. These are all things, aren't they, alhamdulillah? So the whole Ramadan we should try that we implement Ramadan in the same way. Everyone should be wearing dhoti, white attire, imama, Allahu Akbar. Such barakah will come in Ramadan that you'll be amazed and shocked by looking at this. And the color and the form and the condition of the ummah will change. So let's bring yaqeen first that the barakah comes with the sunnah. With every sunnah action does barakah come. Remember, just like water. And water has come to me and I'm drinking, I'm quenching my thirst. A big name of Allah. Now if I sit down and drink with three sips, then first and foremost what will come? That Allah Ta'ala will be happy. First and foremost Allah will be happy. Nobody else will be that much happy. Who will be happy the most? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, extreme happiness. And imagine Allah Ta'ala's happiness. That today a person, for example, is imitating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why is Allah Ta'ala happy? Allah is so happy because Allah knows that this person is doing the imitation of my Habib. Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala loves so much the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if anybody imitates him, Allah says, barakah. Barakah, blessings, subhanAllah. Barakah is there. Blessings are there. So this is how much Allah Ta'ala loves the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to this extreme. That a person who imitates him even a little bit, that he sits and drinks water with the three sips, Allah says, see what barakah will give to you. What blessings give to you. Sit down and drink in three sips. Alhamdulillah, I remember an event in my life. The agents come, the utility company workers that please switch your provider. And then my doorbell rang and I came out and it was the gas sort of representative for the gas board. And he was a young boy, a young man. He said to me that I'm the agent for this company, energy utility company, and this is the situation, etc., etc. I said that, no, we're okay, we're fine, we don't need to purchase, etc. He kept on pestering, asking. After a while, I said, no, we don't need. He said, at least you can give me some water. I said, yes, I can give you water to drink. I went inside, took the glass of water. When I gave the water glass of water to him, then he sat down on the ground, on the pavement, outside. He sat down, and in three sips, he drank the water. I said, come inside, I want to give you food, and I will also sign up to your company for the utilities, the energy you have bought me. I said, you've purchased me out. You've bought me out. You've done that action. Alhamdulillah, the great alims, people with ilm don't do this. Big alims don't do this action. They stand and drink water. You've done this kamal, that you've taken everything. Subhanallah, all the rules. I didn't look at that time. Is it expensive or cheap? Straight away, I signed that until today, I have that same company, that utility company providing the energy. It's a bit more expensive, but inshallah, you'll get everything in thereafter. So I was a bit surprised. I said, that how did he learn amal? Practice. Doesn't look from his face or from the practice. That how much amal has this person learnt? And very beautiful response was given, that my grandfather was a very good man and he used to pray salah, and I used to go and pray salah with him. And while we were walking, he used to explain to me certain things, and he gave me the habit that whenever you drink water, sit down and drink water. And he said, today you don't know that how great an action your grandfather carried out, that from top to toe, for example, if I took you here, you wouldn't understand the sunnah. Until today, if it was anything sold, he said, maybe they would have expelled me from that company, but Allah Ta'ala has assisted and helped. That this is one sunnah. And every sunnah brings barakah. Have you done practice on this? I bought to your company. At that same time, the boss came, alhamdulillah. In front of me, the boss, he found, alhamdulillah, he was so happy. He said, you come back straight away. You've done a great action. That we needed this honesty, and he was given promotion for practicing one sunnah. And we've mentioned various. So I don't know, the children, is this a small thing? That where the sunnah helps, we should teach our children. If we taught our children sunnah, what a great achievement. And we can teach other things. Where I say the women will teach, and we have so much desire to make them hafid and to make them an alim, scholar. But we don't have desire to make them, give them a good character. I've never seen a father at home, sits in the house in the evening, gives the ta'leem of the sunnah, teaches them manners. No. Just all the alims, the scholars, they've got Quran in their heart, and they're praising the children, the alims, the hafid, etc. There's no light, there's no nur. No, total empty box. Quran says empty box, nothing else. Nothing. No father sits down and works and makes effort on the children. Say that, my son, this is how to eat. The Prophet ﷺ, his sunnahs, beautiful stories about the sunnah sharifa. That look here, this sahabi did this action, he did that action. And from, for example, how the nur of the sunnah will come into the lives of the children, the whole life will sparkle and glow. But we want fame and money. We don't want the reality of deen. We don't want the fragrance of deen. Just name. Just name. That said, oh, she's an alima, he's an alima, scholar. Doesn't matter what they do after, but we want this to happen. We're just following on the system of the conveyor belt. But the barakah, the nur is Quran and hadith and the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. This is deen al-Islam, my friends. Very strong and robust deen. So let's do dua. That Allah Ta'ala gives us understanding and it gives us the tawfiq to practice on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And then we continue our lives. So let's start the dhikr. Ameen.